Okay.
We never do.
You're supposed to wear name tags.
This one's up too. Good evening. This is Donna Moss, chair of the City of Shoreline Planning Commission, and I hereby call to order the October 4th, 2012 City of Shoreline Planning Commission meeting. First on the agenda this evening is roll call.
Chair Moss.
Here.
Vice Chair Esselman.
Here.
Commissioner Mall.
Here.
Commissioner Montero.
Here.
Commissioner Scully.
Present.
And Commissioner Wagner.
Here.
And Commissioner Kraft is absent.
Commissioner Kraft telephoned me shortly before the meeting and said his wife had an unexpected business trip and he was not able to arrange childcare at the last minute.
Okay. Thank you. And just as a reminder, it's always appreciated if you do let Steve and myself know beforehand. And I know Jessica was really good about sending out the roll call, advance roll call. So that being said, we will now move on to approval of the agenda. Seeing no changes recommended, the agenda is approved. Next is director's comments. Director Markle.
I will actually be yielding the floor to Paul Cohen. I wasn't supposed to be here tonight, and he's all prepared with comments.
Okay. Mr. Cohen.
Thank you. Good evening. I have three items to inform you about. On October 8th, the City Council is going to have a proclamation for National Community Planning Month, and Commissioner Moss has agreed to be there to receive that. All of you are invited, of course, if you'd like to go to the council meeting for that proclamation. They're usually pretty short and at the beginning of the meeting if you're interested. Second of all, I wanted to give you an update on Point Wells, the latest. There's a long history to it. I've been more involved in the more recently in the past couple months. And as you know, the city is very interested, and the community around Point Wells is very interested in what's going to happen with that site. And currently, the Snohomish County Council is considering amendments to their policies and their development code that affect Point Wells to give it a new designation from urban center to urban village. There's some differences of what that is, and some code amendments to go along with that. The idea is that they're trying to meet the growth management hearing board's ruling for them to correct that redesignate that and direct their concerns towards that. And so they're attempting to do that. We are tracking that very closely and are trying to make sure, have commented on their amendments, trying to make sure that they stay in track and reflect the interest of Shoreline, Save Richmond Beach, Woodway. We also have been meeting with those, with Woodway and Save Richmond Beach, to see if we have some common concerns and common comments that we would like to give the county. And so we've collaborated for the most part on that with them. And on the 10th, Snohomish County Council is going to be taking action on those amendments, and we will be there, of course. And then on October 24th, the county has to submit their changes to the Growth Management Hearings Board for a ruling. I'm not sure when the ruling date is. Do you know when that is? Yeah, sometime after, of course. And then I also got notice that on November 7th, there's going to be an argument at the Court of Appeals, I believe, about the application that Point Wells, or BSRE is what it's called, to see if their application is vested. So that's all moving forward, slow, grinding process, but that's kind of where we're at right now. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, that's a good summary.
Okay.
Just a quick question. What does it take for that to for that to be vested, do you know the criteria, or that's something that
no, I
that
don't.
Body?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's two things going on. One is trying to satisfy the Growth Management Hearing Board, and at the same time, the challenge to their application, whether it's vested or not, is going on simultaneously, basically. So we're trying to stay abreast of it. Snohomish County works slow and in mysterious ways, and we're trying to find our way through it and stay on top of it. And it may be that they're confused themselves. I don't know. But anyway, that's how it's happening, and it takes a lot to stay on top of it. Number two, three, the third item is I'm going to be coming before you starting November 15th, and December 6th, and then I think it's December 20th, are the three dates to come to you with the code reform project I have called Commercial Design Standards and Commercial Zoning Consolidation. If you remember, I think I came here some months before and explained to you generally what we're going to propose, which is to consolidate redundant commercial zones that have identical requirements, but we have two different titles for them, zone names for them. Number one, so we'd be consolidating eight commercial zones down into four. That's one part of it. And the other part of it is taking the design standards primarily from town center and apply them to all commercial zones. The thing that won't change will be the dimensional standards for each of those zones. So neighborhood business, community business, will all have the same dimensional standards, but they'll have new, better design standards that should be universal to fit all commercial zones. There's more to it than that, but that's the 25 word loop, you know, description of what it is. So that'll be coming up. I'm basically holding off till you finish with the comp plan and not get
Thank
in the way
you.
Of that. So, and by the way, the comp plan has been amended to actually support the commercial design standards and commercial zone consolidation project. So they're working together, and they both have the same environmental review. That's all I have.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'd like to welcome Mayor McGlashan to our meeting this evening. At this time, we would be doing general public comment, but I see no public.
No one signed up.
So no one has signed up. All right. So we will go ahead and move into our... Oh, pardon me. Thank you, Vice Chair Esselman. Before public comment, we should have done an approval of the minutes from our September 6th regular meeting. Have we any changes or corrections? Okay, then the minutes are approved as submitted. Now we will move on to our study item, the Comprehensive Plan Major Update, and this is a continuation of our discussion from our last meeting. And Ms. Redinger sent us an electronic copy of the introduction after our last meeting and asked for us to provide any feedback, which thank you for all of those, anyone who did. And I'm going to let you go ahead and take it from here.
Sure. As you mentioned, this is a continuation from the discussion of September 20th. There were three particular issues that the commission asked for staff clarification, or the third issue, Commissioner Wagner asked to discuss a reintroduction or a revision to the introduction of the transportation element. So tonight we have Mark Ralph, Director of Public Works, here to address comments submitted by the Shoreline Water District at the last meeting. The staff report also has a point-by-point staff comment, but Mr. Ralph is here to expound upon any questions that you may have. Mr. Cohen and Director Markle are also here to discuss the question about whether we need to keep in the comprehensive plan the lines that say appropriate zoning for this land use designation are blah, blah, blah. They went through examining what the GMA said and played out several scenarios so they can discuss more the final language that we end up coming to as a recommendation for that. And then there's the, as I mentioned, the transportation introduction language, as well as any other things that are loose ends for the comprehensive plan update, because the next time you meet will be the public hearing. We, as I mentioned, have all of the color printers in the building currently printing out the draft InDesign version complete with maps. So by the end of the meeting, we will have assembled packets for you to take home with you to start looking through so you can see how great everything looks. Again, this is not perfect. It is not going to have page numbers. The maps are not going to be going to have a pile and they're going to be put in the right place in the document, but the table of contents won't be complete. The glossary is not complete. There will be more pictures in the sidebars, but the point is to send you home with something tonight that you can start looking through and just to get a feel of what the public hearing document is going to look like. So that will be hot off the presses and coming soon. So Mr. Ralph requested to have his discussion item first. So if you want to join us here, you can we can clarify comments in the staff report, or if you have questions directly for Mr. Ralph, and I will be recording changes in the document.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Chair, Commissioners. Nice to be back. I don't have any specific presentation here, so I'd just be really kind of open to whatever questions you might have.
Okay, I'll open up to Commissioner Scully.
Well, do we have those, their comments? I don't remember them off the top of my head.
They were in our packet.
Which page, it looks like page 13.
Yes, starts on the bottom of page 12 of the packet. And essentially, some of the elements that were in the letter were just copied and pasted in here with the response below. And I know one of our questions was redundancy, and so that was a deliberate point to do that. Commissioners? Comments? She had on page 14 of the packet, which was where it talked about growth pays for growth.
Yes.
And can you talk a little bit about that?
I'd be happy to. My packet's a little different than yours, so help me here, Rand or Steve. Which
It would be comment number two.
Okay, got it. Well, let's see. I think what we've certainly had conversation with before about growth pays for growth has more to do, I think, about a distinction between a connection charge and the rest of a CIP that a utility might have. I think what's really an important distinction to make here is that, you know, when growth pays for growth, you do not have them pay for any kind of deficit that might be in your system, a deficiency, so to speak. So that really is a responsibility of the larger utility system. For example, if you've got deficiencies in fire protection, certainly we have some examples in the SPU system that we could talk about where inadequate line size leads to inadequate flows. That is a deficiency within the system that really does need to be paid by the ratepayers themselves through a capital improvement program. Growth pays for growth is applicable when you have an area that is designated for infill for some future development projects, for which currently the system may be adequate, but you do need to look at maybe larger infrastructure to, you know, facilitate kind of the larger multifamily project. So that's the kind of distinction I think is important to make when you talk about growth pays for growth.
Okay. Commissioners, other questions that we have for Mr. Ralph? And I'm assuming that by the time that this goes to council, the vote will have taken place, so there may be some minor adjustments, so to speak, where there are policies that would change. Am I correct?
Yes, we've identified areas that will need to change if the vote is not in support of moving forward with the process of feasibility and acquisition.
Okay. Yes, Commissioner Mall.
And that's just on the Seattle utility on 145th, the acquisition. Or is that what all's being considered to be acquired?
Sure, be happy to explain that. The acquisition is actually the entire SPU water system that exists from 145th to 205th, roughly west of I-5 all the way, of course, to Puget Sound. So it represents about two-thirds of the city. That is the SPU system. Represents about 16,600 individual taps, water services. So it's a fairly large part of the city, of course. The 145th is specifically the corridor for which we have to run a new water main down and actually separate the system between Shoreline and Seattle. So that's why 145th is rather specific.
Yes, Commissioner Scully.
Can you confirm for us that there is nothing's before the voters now regarding the Southwest Water District? It's exclusively SPU.
It's exclusively SPU. It has nothing to do with the Shoreline Water District. Yeah, they're not impacted by this at all. The improvements, the cost, the purchase price, all of that is paid for by the ratepayers within the SPU system. There is no impact to property tax or anything. Only the rate payers within the SPU system.
And so the Shoreline Water District's concerns seem to be that the comprehensive plan was angling towards advocacy of also acquiring the Shoreline Water District. And their take on it was they wanted our comprehensive plan to be neutral. Having read your comments and having read closely the sections she commented on before, I don't think it necessarily is that biased, but her concerns seem to come from a desire to have that discussion later rather than wait it now with how we word our comprehensive plan.
Well, let's see. I think, Commissioner, I think from my perspective, I think there has been discussion within, certainly with staff. The proposal for us to look at consolidation of all utilities, regardless of whether it's SPU or the Shoreline Water District, long-term, the consolidation of that for many of the reasons why I think the staff has kind of laid out in the staff report, efficiency, certainly the ability to manage economic development, certainly fire protection issues and those kinds of things. So I think there is an intent to look at consolidation of all utilities. Now, when I say all utilities, probably need to clarify that, specifically water and sewer, not so much cable TV or something of that magnitude, even though some have suggested that, I have to be honest.
Okay. Commissioners? Commissioner Mall?
So what percentage does Shoreline Water District provide in service?
The balance, which is one-third of the city.
One-third?
Yeah, they also obviously serve into Lake Forest Park. And if I remember correctly, their total number of taps is about 14,000. So it's a little bit smaller than the in total compared to the SPU system that we're looking at.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioners? The vote, however, is before the entire city.
Correct.
Am I correct?
Yes, okay. Correct.
Okay.
That was a condition the council set. Felt that it was important enough that the entire city should probably have a say on this. So that's the general parameter behind it.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Ralph about anything related to utilities, capital? I'm assuming you would also be able to address any concerns or issues about capital facilities?
I certainly would be happy to. In fact, I did get an email here this afternoon from Miranda, who apparently would like me to specifically discuss something.
No, I was just mentioning that if you'd have specific questions, that the comments that were noted in the draft that we talked about on the 20th were in regard to a specific paragraph in the capital facilities section. So I could try to pull that paragraph up. I don't have it notated anymore because this draft that we're working on is a clean version, so it doesn't have the comments. But we could look for that paragraph if that was something you wanted to discuss with Mr. Ralph while he was here.
Commissioners?
If you feel the comments are sufficient, great.
All right, great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so... Just looking at the staff report, let's go ahead and take a look at the introduction, because that is something that is fairly new. We haven't actually looked at that at any of our study sessions. And I'm not sure if any of you may have forwarded on comments, have any questions. So I will open it up to
Kramos.
Yes, Commissioner Wagner.
Just as a clarification, are you talking about the introduction for the land use elements, or are you talking about the new introduction that I wrote for the transportation?
This is the introduction. Introduction.
The one that...
That's essentially in front of us on the screen.
Okay.
That was something that was sent to us electronically after the last meeting.
And that would, I mean, as when we talked about last time, this is part of the stuff that falls under the vision and the framework goals, right?
Right. Okay. A great deal of it is vision and framework goals.
Okay. Thanks.
I'm going to just take a moment here. I see Mr. Zaffron has Section 2, which were comprehensive plan elements, goals, and policies. And when this was sent out, it was revised to reflect the comments by the commission. And I'm seeking input from the commission whether we feel that this is the order that we would want them in. Because that was a question at our last meeting. So it appears now that the section and policies would be land use, community design, housing, transportation, economic development, natural environments, parks, recs, and open space, capital facilities, utilities, and shoreline master plan. Is that any further comments? Okay, so I think that moves well. Any other comments that you may have about the overall introduction? Okay, so I don't believe that there were any real high-level questions about the introduction that any of us addressed or had in mind. So I'm going to move back to our Attachment A, which... is the zoning and land use designations, which would be the next section following the introduction in the comp plan. And this was the version that we had sent to us in our packet is a track change version. And all of those elements, I'm assuming that were in here, were probably accepted. Am I correct? Anything that was in there from before?
Yes.
Okay. So, questions or comments about, we'll just start at the beginning of land use elements, goals, and policies, 7A, attachment A. we're not necessarily going to need to go through one line at a time. I spoke with Ms. Redinger today about goal LU4, and a little bit further up, because it's under the goal, not the policy, please. Thank you. And my comment about that was, there we are, that it seemed like that last sentence was a little bit awkward in phrasing. And so I asked her, and that was based on input from public health. And I don't have a great suggestion, but it just struck me as provide protection from exposure to harmful substances and environments was not a real clear statement. Is it just me?
Struck me as odd too, but not unreasonable, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I've tried to think of how to rephrase that. I guess part of what I'm concerned about,
maybe just safety.
Commissioner Wagner.
Well, I think it's partially like you don't want people walking right on a railroad track or, you know, on the backside of a, I mean, I think that's what it's looking at, is you don't want people, you know, we'd rather have the interurban trail than no sidewalks on Aurora.
Right.
I think that's how I looked at it, is, you know, we'd rather have places where people can get from point A to point B without being exposed to icky stuff if they're going to be walking. And
Commissioner Scully.
I guess it is unclear, because I read that totally differently. I thought there were two thoughts in there. One is establish land use patterns that promote walking, biking, et cetera, and the other was establish land use patterns that provide protection from exposure to harmful substances, such as separating industrial lands from residential lands.
Right, and I think this was different than that, because that was why, when I asked where that came from, it was from public health. Which could actually apply perhaps to both pieces there, but it just seems that if we're not entirely sure, it would make sense if we could clarify and come up with a better way to phrase that.
The intention is also partly to do with social equity. For instance, if you have a land use pattern where all of your industrial uses are located near your low-income housing, that's an environmental threat to the people that live in that housing. So I think that the primary intention was social equity, that when you do your land use, you consider that you're not dumping the dangerous, harmful substances or creating harmful environments in areas of people who disproportionately have those things located close to their houses.
Maybe we need two sentences then, right? I mean, if they're really separate thoughts, then maybe just either make it two goals or just make it two sentences. Establish land use patterns that promote, then another sentence, establish land use patterns that provide.
That may provide greater clarity. Do we feel that those are important enough that we want them as separate goals? Commissioner Montero.
You could consolidate that with goal 9, part of that anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
And actually, they're somewhat similar. Miranda, do you remember if public health was looking at the language in goal LU4 as being something very specific, or that wasn't addressed in goal LU9, or have we maybe changed LU9 that it encompasses both of them? Oh, I'm sorry.
I think that's just a concept that's not addressed anywhere else in the document, that there's no other mention of in relation to land use or as it relates to social equity or to harmful substances or environments. So I think they were maybe just trying to find a place to fit that comment in so that it is addressed somewhere.
And this really is about land use, so even though it does relate in some respects to goal LU9, it is somewhat different. I think perhaps the best way would be to separate it into two sentences. And I'm not coming up with a great recommendation of how that second sentence would be phrased. And of course, when we come to public hearing, we will have to make a determination by that night, basically. So I know at this time staff can't do a huge amount, but I would recommend that if we have any further comments after we get our packet tonight that we want to address, that we can send those comments to Miranda as soon as possible, and that she could perhaps make a comment in the document if it's appropriate that we could then address during the public meeting, because we won't have another study session. So some things may come to mind, and this could certainly be one that we could mull over and see if somebody comes up with a really great way to phrase it.
Right. I think something that might work well is these last-minute changes. Essentially, we're aiming to get your staff report out on Tuesday, because mm-hmm. Steve will be out for a couple days. So by Tuesday, we would like to have a final public hearing version. Now, because we put so much paper into today, I think that it's reasonable to propose that we send you all on Tuesday a digital version. So you'll have this paper copy that you can go through. If you're a paper editor, then you can mark that up, because you'll be getting a PDF version. So you won't necessarily have the ability to do track changes in Word as we've been doing for the entire process. So I would recommend that you take this home with you tonight, and then on Tuesday you'll get a digital packet that will include, you know, the changes that we discussed tonight. So we'll incorporate those by Tuesday, have a staff report, a description of the environmental documents and summary and the rest of that process to be ready for the public hearing. And then you'll have a digital packet, so you can see the little things that will be in your paper packet, hopefully will have been fixed. And again, the things I mentioned will have more pictures. And then you can just make notes and either send me an email that says, you know, this is something we'd like to discuss, but essentially that packet will be unchanged until the public hearing. So what you get on Tuesday, we can integrate stuff between now and Tuesday. After that, you're probably going to have to bring it up at the hearing. Does that sound reasonable, resource?
Yes, thank you.
Wise.
Okay. Any other thoughts, commissioners? Okay, so definitely important for us to try and take a look and see if there's something that's really significant and get back to Miranda no later than, what, beginning of business Tuesday? Always my favorite way to approach things, so.
Okay. Chair Moss, I have a question.
Yes, Commissioner Wagner.
One of the things that, since I'm kind of a process person, it might behoove us to talk a little bit tonight about the process of how we're going to manage things when we get to the hearing, given the paper copy and the track, you know, changes, because I could foresee us getting rat-holed on trying to nitpick, like, oh, we had one little change here and one little change there, and then we end up spending a lot of time focusing on, you know, kind of the last things that we ushered through rather than maybe some other things that were more comprehensively important. And as I think about it, one of the things that, for slightly newer commissioners who may or may not have as much experience going through this public hearing process, one of the things we're expected to do is build a record for council as to why we vote one way or another. And so if we get, what we've found sometimes in past meetings when I've chaired them is we ended up getting rat-holed on like five minor issues, and then by the end of the night we're so tired we just kind of past the whole thing. We don't really talk to all the work that's gone into it, et cetera. So I know that sounds a little soapboxy, but I'd like us to maybe not necessarily now, but when we get to the end of the night, make sure we kind of have our ducks in a row for how we'll handle it. That way we don't have to reorient ourselves to the logistics of what documents we have in front of us, et cetera, when we get to the next hearing. That'll make that'll faster, and we'll probably have a bunch of public comment.
Yes, I would anticipate we'll have fairly significant public comment. So, I mean, we could be wrong, but that
could go unnoticed. Or
yeah. So, other comments, commissioners, on. And I do appreciate you making a number of changes. There was quite a bit of discussion about the appropriate zoning, and they've now just put in what the maximum designated density would be for residential. And does this better meet the expectations of the commission? Because we wanted to have some type of guidelines but didn't want to get into the real tooth and nail. Okay, good, thank you. There's a question here on LU, which is new LU6, and it was protect trees and vegetation and encourage additional plantings that serve as buffers, allow flexibility in regulations to protect existing stands of trees. This is on page 21 of the packet.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have any opposition to including that language? I think, let me clarify, this would be if somebody had an existing stand of trees on their property and maybe it's for them to build, they might have to go to maybe a zero lot line on one side because otherwise it would make it not very feasible for them to do a structure. Is
exactly
that the type of example mm-hmm. that we're talking about?
Right, and those rules are in the development code. So
okay, so there would be something that would be referred to that would be guidelines for the director or the planning staff as to what the flexibility would be.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, this comment was based on Commissioner Wagner's comment last time to rephrase that. So it does reflect language that's already in the development code, but I was trying to guess it.
I think it's important that we have it here because it does give us a standard that we can then use to point from the development code that, yes, this is part of our comp plan. As we're moving through other comments here, Vice Chair Esselman.
No, I have something later on in the document here, but not.
Not under land use?
Yes, but.
Oh, okay. It's under land use. I think it's a small enough thing. We can kind of pop back and forth if
okay.
we need to.
All right. Oh, well, okay. On page 24 of the packet, LU 29, to me, that seemed like we were discussing two different ideas. Let's see. That last sentence, develop mechanisms to provide timely information so residents can plan for and respond to changes. I was wondering if that made more sense to go and combined with LU 30. That was just, it seemed to flow better that way. But I'm, you know, I don't know what everybody else feels about that, if that caught anybody else's eye, but that just seemed like we had two different ideas there happening.
Yeah, I think that would probably, because it's really talking about communication mm-hmm. mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I agree. I think
that would work better.
Commissioners, other commissioners, agree, disagree? Commissioner Scully.
I agree with that, actually. And this section hadn't caught my eye, but now that I'm reading it, are mm-hmm. we talking about land use transitions as in the transition from high-density residential to the adjacent low-density residential, or are we talking about transitions as in there's a new building going in?
Mm-hmm. Well, LU-30 is just about station areas, and let's see, is this under, well, this is all under the station area subheading.
Yeah.
So I read that as meaning transitions from, you know, areas transitioning into different kind of land use.
If that, I mean, that makes total sense. Can we say transitions in land use rather than land use transitions? Right, because land use transitions has I think of it as having a technical sense.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me to that have it read like that.
Okay. And then move that. And then do you still feel that it makes more sense to move the develop mechanisms to the next? I think that.
Yep.
They're really.
Move the last sentence. Separate,
mm-hmm. Right? To LU-30.
Okay. Does that look all right?
Mm-hmm. Can you slide that over on the screen a little bit to the right? We're kind of missing some of the left side of it. Thank you. Okay, other thoughts or comments?
Looks good. Yeah.
I know we've had some conversation about TOD versus TOC, and I'm seeing a lot of transit-oriented community, the TOC. Is that because we are maybe trying to make a transition, and this is talking specifically about light rail, that we're using a different term? I think we had talked in the past that TOD was kind of the commonly accepted, generally thought of term, and we wanted to be consistent.
Right. No, we discussed which one to use. Everybody had a preference for transit-oriented communities, including staff and the commission. And the reason we had used transit-oriented development in previous drafts was because that's what they use in the TMP. So we thought that we needed to be consistent with that. Then we found out we did not need to be consistent with that, so we should use the term that everybody preferred. So okay. Everything in this document now refers to TOC.
Okay, great. Thank you. That answered a big question. Perfect. Okay. Other comments about land use? I'm going to actually come back to one that I had asked Ms. Redinger to provide us a copy in our desk packet tonight. We have the existing it's the comp plan version of land use that's currently in existence. And this is one of the things that I sent a comment to her, and I don't see Mr. Cohen. Well, perhaps Ms. Markle can answer the questions. But one of the things that, as I was looking at the, this is in relationship to the MU1 and MU2, the new zoning categories that we're looking at creating. When I look at the new map, I was just comparing it to where things are existing. And because I would like for our public meeting to be efficient, I wanted to raise a couple of questions and things that I think may be of concern. And probably the biggest one is mixed use one in that area down, if you look on the existing map, that area at Dayton and 165th, it's private open space. And if you then look at the new map, that has now become mixed use one, which is the more intensive development. And this is all part of the area that's the community renewal area. Is that the correct?
Mm-hmm.
This particular area yes. fits into that community renewal area around the Aurora Square.
That would be the WashDOT building.
And that's that's the WashDOT building and their lands. And of course, they've got that
designated. Yeah. Correct.
Right. So it
public facilities.
Right. And but on the new map, it's not shown as a public facility. On the new comprehensive land use, it's shown as mixed use too. And we've heard over and over and over from low-density residential neighborhoods that they're concerned about the effect of buildings butting right up to them, and the type of uses. And since the mixed use one could expand the type of uses, it could include different types of uses that might be like manufacturing or those types of things as well. I have a concern that we're going to raise a big issue because now they've got a very quiet street with trees and a big parking lot that they're looking at, and if they were to develop that, potentially it could change significantly. So my thought was it might make better sense to look at doing that as mixed use too, because it's a little less intensive. So I wanted to bring that up to commissioners to talk about.
I apologize, Madam Chair. I'm not finding what you're talking about. Okay. Is there a way to point?
Yep.
So, right there is...
Okay, I see. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are we, is it working right here? Right
here. Yes.
It's south of 160.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. It's south of...
Okay.
It's just south of 160.
Okay.
So, Mr. Zaffron's got the pointer kind of right in the middle of that area. And if you look at the existing, that area along Dayton and along North 160th is low-density residential right now. And, I mean, Dayton is definitely a fairly busy street. But I know we had a lot of public comment as we were moving forward with Town Center about how we were going to deal with those types of things. And we came up with the Town Center zoning and some design standards. And as I was reading through the kind of the preliminary outline of what we would be looking at for MU1 and MU2, is that MU2 would be a little less intensive. And
correct.
And so that was my thought, that that area that's currently kind of the whiz dot might be more appropriate as MU2. It doesn't...
Yeah, we're going to check the zoning map to see what it's currently zoned. I think that was the thought behind matching up the comp plan with the zoning. So okay. I'm just going to double check to see what it is.
Okay.
I want a copy of that right here.
Oh, Commissioner Wall?
Yes. So it looks like it's MUZ right now.
Right, mixed-use zone,
yeah,
which is our most intense zoning district.
So it is less intense. Is that what you said?
No, it's most.
It
the
is
most
the
intense.
Most intense.
It is that too.
So that I understand then where staff made that suggestion. Vice Chair Esselman.
You know, the one thing, though, about that site and the way it exists right now is that it doesn't really face Dayton and doesn't, you know, the major, because of the topography, it does face inwardly too, so there might be some natural kind of buffering that happens, and maybe that's something that happens in the development of the site. And right now, that what, how many stories is that building? It's about four or five. Yeah,
but it's much more inward, and
right, but
those areas that are right along Dayton and North 160th are basically parking lots. And so I'm just trying to think to where we're going, that even though the entire piece is zoned MUZ, is underlying zoning.
Right, which can redevelop at MUZ, you know, without regard to the comprehensive plan.
Right. Although, aren't we looking at changing some of the zoning? Mr. Cohen was talking about changing some of those zoning standards as well.
It's being renamed, but the development standards, I believe, will stay the same.
Actually, they'll be even better in terms of transition and design, because they'll mirror Town Center as opposed to mm-hmm. the current MUZ zone. So there'll be more protections through the new zone.
Even in the MU1?
In the MU1 specifically, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Commissioners, thoughts? Like I said, I wanted to raise the issue because I wouldn't be surprised that there may be some people that will come to the public meeting. So I wanted us to think about that and just give some thought and get some background information from staff. Okay. So if there's no further comment on that, Any other comments that we might have, and anything left in the land use? Okay. The let's talk a little bit about the introduction that Chair Wagner, or excuse me, Commissioner Wagner, former Chair Wagner, there is in page 16 of our packet, it's the introduction to the transportation element goals and policies, and she had proposed to rewrite the introduction, and this was the result, the italicized version is the result of her recommendations combined with staff's comments and edits. And I'm asking commissioners if you have any.
Sounds good. Okay. I like it.
I like it too. I didn't, but I figured we, it is here, but I just wanted to make sure that we weren't going through it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Wagner. I think that that was a great process. Subarea, so now I'm going to go back to our final area of the packet that we received, which was the subarea plan 2 for Point Wells. In our last iteration, there was just a placeholder for it, and I'm not sure that most of the commissioners have seen much of this language, because the Point Wells subarea plan was adopted before I even came on. So with the exception of Commissioner Wagner, this may be new information to you. So I'd like for us to take a few minutes again to talk about this. And any comments? And that starts on page 29 of our packet. Commissioner Montero.
So did the 20-year plan begin in 2009 that they talk about in this?
Pardon me? I'm
in
sorry.
In the future of Point Wells, they talk about a 20-year plan document. Did that start in 2009?
Right, because it's our vision. Isn't that our vision 2029, which was adopted in 2009 as the 20-year plan? And this was...
Is this regarding Point Wells or just the...
Point
Wells?
Yeah, I think you're speaking, yes, the subarea plan was adopted in 2009, so that would be what that would refer to.
Okay.
The same year as Vision 2029, but.
Right, they work in conjunction, so to speak.
Not really. They were separate projects. They just happened to be in the same year.
Oh, okay. So, Commissioner Montero, you're referencing a specific spot on there. Can you share that we
page,
can?
Page 32, the subarea plan, tended to be a 20-year plan document. So this document was created in 2009, is what I said.
Yeah, that's correct. And
okay,
I see what you're talking
these
about.
These subarea plans tend to be on the 20-year horizons.
Okay. So yeah, I'm sorry, I misspoke. That isn't actually part of 2029, or Vision 2029. Commissioner Scully?
What is the status of secondary vehicular access? The last I heard, that was highly unlikely.
That's what I've heard. Again, this is a request by the Save Richmond Beach group. It's part of the annual docketing. So,
my understanding was it was technically essentially infeasible. Is that not accurate?
I can't tell you for sure.
It's simply right. It's economic. I'm getting an economically infeasible. Yeah.
Chair Mall.
Yes, Commissioner Mall.
Is that true for the uplands of? It's still economically infeasible to connect it to Woodway? Because there's talk in this about how the city's changed its thoughts on the uplands, and maybe that's more appropriate to be part of Woodway's urban growth boundary.
And I was reading that too, and And Mr. Zaffron, could you perhaps clarify? I was then looking at figure three, which is the City of Shoreline Future Service and Annexation Area.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now, the 50 acres, is that the correct number, 40 acres, 50 acres that we're talking about, are the ones that are noted as northwest and southwest? They're
and southeast.
And southeast, yes, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. And so that was that originally the entire area of the subarea plan, or
yes.
did it extend all the way north?
No.
So that view corridor from
yeah.
Woodway, from there north, was not part of the adopted subarea plan, am I correct, Commissioner Wagner?
So the NW, which has 29.1 acres, is... It looks like it's got the dotted dashed line with the, this one here is a view corridor. That northwest acres is that entire section. That,
okay.
That 29 is that entire section. This was just a view corridor where it was going to be lower.
Building heights.
Lower building heights to okay. allow for, and they took pictures from multiple vantage points to try and demonstrate where an appropriate view corridor might be. The other thing, just to respond to Commissioner Mall's question about the access from Woodway. There used to be an access there, but it's a extremely steep slope and environmentally sensitive. And so, to the point of Commissioner Scully, it's economically feasible. It's feasible, but it very very expensive to build something on that steep slope because it's such a steep downward slope. So 238th, if you go from Woodway out 238th, you can see that the road is blocked off and just kind of drops off the cliff. That one right there. Is that, yeah, you look. Sorry.
So is it environmentally sensitive area?
Yes.
And not buildable for anything?
Along that eastern...
That up
edge in
yeah.
the
not
northwest.
Without mitigation would be the point that you could do it, but you'd have to mitigate in some other way, which
that permit would go through the county, I believe.
Right.
And, I mean, it's
now it would.
Well, through Snohomish County is what you mean.
Yeah.
And so you did make in this report. On page 31, it says designation of a future service and annexation area at Point Wells. And Commissioner Mall asked this question, and maybe that's part of what I'm a little confused about, too. It says, after review of the topography and access options for Point Wells, the City of Shoreline no longer wishes to include the upland portion of this unincorporated island. What do you mean by the upland portion? Are you talking about...
That's that.
The upland area on the map, figure, if you look at figure two, it's...
So you're talking about that white area?
Yeah.
Okay. So the 50 acres is basically everything that's northwest, southwest, and southeast, and everything that's the overall white area, you wouldn't consider that part of an annexation area because...
Well, it's not part of the sub-area.
It's not part of the sub-area as well.
Right.
But it is part of the overall piece of property that's owned by the entity that owns Point Wells.
Yeah, sorry.
I believe so.
Okay. Well, thank you, because for most of us who weren't there to go through the entire process, I just want to make sure that we understand. And
yeah.
Commissioners, other questions? Commissioner Scully.
I don't have any small comments on this. It looks like a great plan, but my sense is if that permit is vested, that's a whole different world. I mean, if there's, you know, Snohomish County's permitting in place and they can build according to that, you know, this plan will have no effect because, you know, what they'll be building is already set. And I wonder if we shouldn't call that out in here and just indicate that if the permit is vested or other circumstances change, we should revisit the possibility of annexation and the terms of annexation.
You're on the right track. If the permit goes through and it goes through under Snohomish County rules, which under any scenario it most likely does go through Snohomish County, we would need to amend this plan to match up to some degree. But we're not prepared to do that at this point. It's at the Growth Management Hearing Board, and we still have some challenges trying to get some of the things we spell out in here into Snohomish County's permitting process through agreements through that would happen later.
So are you saying even if a project is built, should we still pursue annexation?
So I'm making a fairly simple point. If something happens that we can't control, right now this is written as if we annex this, what ideally do we want to go in there? Something may happen that is beyond our control. In fact, it probably will. And I'm wondering if we shouldn't call out that possibility and indicate that this subarea plan should be revisited if the circumstances surrounding Point Wells change.
And where would you have a recommendation of where we might put that, Commissioner Scully?
I think it's its own section. But I think it's below interjurisdictional coordination, just indicating that, a section indicating that, you know, the circumstances at Point Wells may change and this subarea plan may need to be revisited if that occurs. And I mean, we would, of course, do that. I say that so that people who are very interested in Point Wells understand that that this is an ongoing dialogue and we may need to change our approach to it if the facts we're presented with change.
Okay. Commissioner Mall?
Thank you. I find it curious that Snohomish County is considering changing the zoning if they is a possibility that the application is vested.
clearly with all of this being in a litigation, I know that anybody in the city's pretty much prohibited from talking about it at this stage in the game other than the real high level things, so.
I mean, I can say the reason they have to they're changing their comprehensive plan and their zoning at this point is because of the City of Shoreline, Safe Richmond Beach, and Woodways appeal to the Growth Management Hearing Board. They have to make changes to those documents in order to come into compliance. Whether we agree that they've made significant changes to come into compliance or whether those changes, because there could be possibly after the end of the appeal, a vested permit. If there's a vested permit, these changes and they stay under that zone won't have any effect. But if it's not a vested permit.
So that's why.
Yeah, that's okay. The why.
Or if the permit lapses, and if they don't, it's not indefinite. So I guess their thought is let's make it right, and if
right.
We get to apply it, right.
Okay. Any other questions, comments about Point Wells? Any other questions, comments about the comp plan as a whole? Because I think we've gone through all the things that were in the staff report and were our big picture questions from the last meeting. So I just want to make sure that we've addressed anything that might be outstanding that may have occurred to us in the meantime. Okay. All right, then, I believe. And is there anything else that staff would like to add for us or the director? Then we will move on to the next item on the agenda. As I find my agenda.
Public comments?
All right. Director's report.
I don't have anything to add to what Paul said earlier. Thanks.
Okay. Next is the reports of committees and commissioners and announcements, and I believe I think this was in our desk packet tonight. Looks like the subcommittee has something to share with us.
Am I correct? Was writing
it. Yeah. Oh, pardon me.
Yeah, so little one-pager that I handed out kind of goes through the purpose of City Council has made very clear that the Planning Commission will be the primary governing board for making recommendations about light rail stationary planning. So in order to you know, facilitate that and sort of start planning on what you guys would like to do, the commission appointed a subcommittee in September, I believe. And then one consideration was that because staff is just now wrapping up the comprehensive plan and beginning to sort of gear up for the light rail process, we've put in a budget request for the 2013 budget, which we wouldn't have access to until January 1st, at which point we would like to hire a consultant to write a very detailed public participation plan. But in preparation for that, staff is sort of looking at what would a draft, a rough public participation look like? What would be the scope of work for the consultant and those kind of things? So rather than have the Planning Commission sort of get too far ahead of that, since we're in such initial stages, we wanted to make sure that what the subcommittee was working on was valuable, was worthwhile, would not be redundant to something that some other group, for instance, Puget Sound Regional Council, would be working on later. So we had a real preliminary discussion with staff. I met with the subcommittee last week, and dare I say, it was even kind of a fun meeting. And we talked about some draft scope items, and I believe that the subcommittee is going to try to put time frame on these deliverables. So just to be, you know, really high level view, and then you can get down into the details amongst yourselves. But primarily, they would focus on familiarizing themselves with the area. Staff took a walking tour around the 185th potential station, around the half mile and sort of in and out of different neighborhoods. It was really enlightening. I would highly recommend being on the ground in the neighborhood, walking around. You might meet some interesting characters as well, as we did. Recommend staff got on the light rail, rode down a couple of stops, got off, walked around different areas. That was interesting to see the way that the actual stations have developed. Research lessons learned from other jurisdictions. Commissioner said that they'd be particularly interested in calling staff from a couple different places were mentioned, Portland, for instance, maybe Boston, or, you know, that would be at their discretion is to contact staff and figure out lessons learned. What were some of the pitfalls? What were the successes? And then report about that back to the commission. The Equitable Transit Communities website has a lot of reports about existing conditions. So these are things to familiarize yourselves with. There are a lot of resources available out there about light rail station area planning, websites, presentations. For instance, Railvolution is a website that we've been pointed to. And then another thing that we talked about was, and this comes up in pretty much any visioning process, but people are familiar with neighborhoods like Fremont and Ballard and Finney Ridge. And what is it that, how do we quantify what makes those neighborhoods so successful? And then one thought thrown out last Friday was, what if we were more like Northwest Seattle? So why is it that people in West Seattle love West Seattle, would not consider leaving West Seattle, whereas people who don't live in West Seattle are like, really, West Seattle? So it's kind of trying to put some, you know, so why is it that these people love these areas so much? Trying to find that. Identify stakeholder groups, ways to engage them in the process. This includes people who do not live here yet. We need to figure out a way to place into the framework and the discussion the voices of the people who will live here in 20, 30, 40, 50 years who clearly cannot be part of this discussion right now, but we need to plan for their needs as well. Then draft criteria for special study area boundaries. We feel that drafting criteria will be an important precursor to drafting the boundaries so that you can explain why you chose the lines that you drew. If in fact the commission does end up putting together the draft study area boundaries. And then lastly, educational materials, messaging. There were some thoughts that we had put together, simple graphics, things that point out that light rail stationary planning really is a way to implement a lot of the goals and a lot of the visioning 2029. We think about healthy city, climate action, sustainability strategy, economic development strategy, housing strategy. There's so many things that people in this city have said over and over, we want these things. We want walkability, connectability, transit, third places. If we do stationary planning right, it could mean all of those, it could be a place for all of those things. So how do we work out messaging? So these are the kind of things that we put together as a draft work plan, and wanted to check in with the rest of the commission, see if you agreed that that was a good work plan, and they can build, when they put in the timelines, they can build in check-ins with the rest of the commission.
So. Commissioners?
I have one thing to add.
Yes, Commissioner Smalley.
What this work plan is missing is a product and a timeline, which are essential components. Right now, it's go forth and learn. And we did that intentionally because a big part of our meeting was spent looking at a draft timeline and realizing how early we were and how we weren't quite sure what the best product would be and where it would fit in. So I think job one for Ms. Redinger, certainly, and for us too, is to figure that out and to figure out whether we're going to be creating a written report, whether we're going to be creating pieces that plug in to other parts of the timeline, or whether we're just going to spend a lot of time getting knowledgeable mm-hmm. and then apply that knowledge to work product that will be created by staff or other agencies. Mm-hmm. So if you're wondering what it is we're going to be doing, for the short term, we're going to be learning, and we're going to be figuring out how we can best apply that knowledge to the project.
Great. Commissioner Wagner?
That's good.
Good. And I think that, you know, and on that point, when you talk about learning, I had forgotten about something that I signed up for until I got an email reminding me that they're actually doing a walking tour of some new housing in Columbia City tomorrow morning, and it's around the light rail area, so I am going to go to that. They said you had to RSVP by today. I can certainly send that on to PlanCom if anybody is, but I don't know, I'm going, not that that will necessarily, you know, but I'll try and pick up extra handouts and see if there are any highlights and those types of things that I can come back and share with the subcommittee at our next time that we talk about this. But there is a meeting on October 30th that PSRC is doing, and it is for the public, and what we'll call vested, kind of more the invested public, which would be a perfect match for members of the subcommittee. And it's talking about, it'll be talking about some of the different typologies that PSRC is looking at as, not quite sure, examples of what future light rail stations might look like. Next week, the North Corridor Task Force has our final meeting before that, so I'm not entirely sure what that end product will look like on the 30th. I don't have much more information, but it will be for the entire region. So it will be for the north, south, east corridor studies. So you can go out to the PSRC website and you can sign up for it. It's free. It's down at Seattle Center, I think, from 3 to 6. So just something to keep in mind. And as a member of the North Corridor Task Force, I will be attending that as well. So you might talk among you as the subcommittee and see if one of you might be able to attend. Other things, questions, thoughts, comments about the subcommittee? Did the subcommittee elect a subcommittee chair, or you're just...
We affirmatively decided not to.
Okay. So. All right. That's you're going to be three co-chairs. Yeah. Works fine for me. Just was curious. So, okay. No, I think this was great. I think the draft work plan was a good place mm-hmm. to start, and I appreciate you taking the time to do this very important work. And I will start trying to send some more links to you now that you've had a chance to sit down. From my numerous resources that I've managed to gather together. So, okay. Any other reports of committees or commissioner announcements? Okay. I would like to just announce that I am going to the APA next Wednesday, and I'm driving down. I'm leaving Shoreline about 5 o'clock. I don't know if there's any other commissioners that or staff that might want to ride with me. Be happy to carpool. So.
No other commissioners.
No other commissioners. Just me. Okay.
I don't know if I can
talk. All right. Well, Rachel, we can talk offline then. So, all right. Agenda for October 18th.
Comprehensive plan, public hearing, scheduled for the 18th, and then November 1st, tentatively, we have Dan Ernesty to talk about the community renewal area.
Great. And then that, and as Mr. Cohen mentioned, then he'll be talking with us also about some of the, what he had mentioned earlier about zoning consolidation. So that'll kind of play in, because it is part of the community renewal area. I mean, there's a certain juncture there between mm-hmm. those. So,
Ms. Moss.
True.
Yes, Commissioner Montero.
So for us newbies, as Ms. Wagner mentioned, could you give us a rundown of how that public hearing works?
Oh, okay.
I mean, do we just sit here and listen? Or is it interactive?
No, we...
No.
No, we don't just sit down and sit here and listen. It's a much more formal process in where there'll still be kind of a general overview, and correct me if I'm wrong, there'll be a general overview by staff providing us with information. I don't know how extensive that will be, but that's what she's putting, very short, that's what she's putting together tonight is our overall packet that we can use in preparation for that. And then we will have, after the staff presentation, we'll have an opportunity just to have some discussion among us as commissioners, and after we've... And hopefully a brief discussion, because we've gone over this many, many times. And again, if you have something really burning, get it to Miranda before she gets here on Tuesday morning, because that will become the document that we have to work off of.
And Moss, can I actually clarify? I think.
Pardon me?
Sorry, I hate to clarify, but it goes to questions, because we shouldn't have discussion until we have a motion on the table.
Oh, thank you. So thank you, former Chair Wagner, who has done this more often than I.
Right. So it goes, staff will give the presentation, the commission has an opportunity to ask questions of staff, and they should really be clarification questions, nothing leading. We've had instances in the past where we try to get too much into it. I think we've dealt with this enough that we probably won't have a lot of questions. Then it goes to public comment.
Correct.
And then we open with a motion on the table. And most often a motion is, you know, we recommend to council that they adopt the comprehensive plan as drafted. We get a second, and then it goes to discussion. And then we've typically gone page by page, very similar to what we've done in the study session. You know, and then we would make a next motion would be, you know, I'd like to make an motion to amend the main motion that we change LU4 to split that sentence out and move it down. And then we vote on that sub-motion, it gets amended to the main motion, and we keep going from there until we reach the end of the document.
Very much as what Anne McFarlane went through us, where she was, you know, tossing dinosaurs of, you know, that sub-motion. So there is a prescribed process to go through, and in our packets, we have this handy-dandy little blue... sheet that we've not really used, which is called a motions chart, and I will be following that diligently. And exactly as Chair Wagner said, that there's the main motion to open the discussion, then you have sub motions. Generally, if somebody makes a main motion, whoever makes the main motion is given the first opportunity to speak to their motion the motion that they put forth, but we'll go around again, that people will have an opportunity to talk. Yes, Commissioner Wagner.
One of the things that I would add is that we have to have findings of facts, and that's one of the things that I don't think and I don't want this to be a long time, but one of the things I don't think we've done very well, because we've never really spent a lot of time thinking about what that means as a commission in the past, you know, there's some criteria that we typically have to follow, and every kind of public hearing is different, but we need to, the motion needs to be supported. So when you speak to the motion, it should be things like, we've heard public input on this, this was a good process, you know, we've gone through umpteen versions. I mean, staff will provide a lot of the findings, you know, the things that are why we think that this recommendation makes sense to go forth to council. It's based on the prior one. It's consistent with the vision which was previously adopted. Those are the kinds of things that we want to make sure are actually true and that we articulate, so that the record for that actual hearing is consistent. And then if there's obviously inconsistencies and we have something where we're weighing one way or another, the pros and cons.
Right, and that's very much as Commissioner Wagner was talking earlier, that the public meeting is building the record that will be a foundation for the council. So it is important that we have clear and respectful communications, one person speaking at a time, and then once the discussion has concluded on a sub-motion, because as she said, there's the opening motion, which usually starts leading us to a lot of sub-motions, sometimes more than others. And on each sub-motion, then we will vote on it, as we did in our parliamentary procedure training. And whether it passes or fails, it will then subsequently go on. That it will. And one thing to keep in mind is that once a motion on a topic has been brought up and resolved, basically you can't go back and reopen the exact same topic. So it's, you know, you can open another element of that. And there can be sub-motions on the sub-motion, again, where if you're talking about...
you're going to keep track of all this, right?
I'm going to try. I'm going to have my little notepad to make sure I'm trying to keep track of it. But that would be, for example, the sub-motion might be, I recommend that we break this into two sentences, and then somebody might say, well, I make a sub-motion, a motion to that we add a third sentence. Or it's that type of a thing that kind of builds on itself. And then we basically work our way back up. And at the very end of it, at the end of each discussion, I will do my best to summarize what the motion on the table is so that we're clear and that it's available for the record, for the public record, so people know what we're actually discussing. And then we'll take a vote on that, and then we'll move on through the next pages. So. Okay. It can be lengthy, but it's part of why I felt it was really important that we have the meeting tonight, because there were a few outstanding issues that I think we had from our last meeting. And my goal is to make this efficient and effective for the public and for us. So,
thank you.
Commissioner Wagner.
Well, one question on that then. So we didn't really, what we didn't then cover logistically is how you would like to handle the changes that get sent via email, then if we want to just take them in line. And the concern I had was that if we focus on them, that's going to disproportionately. So my thought would almost be we kind of incorporate those in, and by reference, make sure that it's clear to the public that those have been incorporated in and that the main body includes not just, you know, whatever it is, that we have one document to start from and that we don't have a document published tonight and then these incremental changes. So, and then if we have concerns, we raise them, but that we don't try to one-off resolve them.
Right, because if we went through every single minutia piece, we could be here well past midnight, which nobody would want to do. So, yeah, that would be a recommendation of whoever makes the initial motion would be to probably put forth that that we approve it with the amendments, because we will have the version on the screen that we'll look at. And we can have our paper version with us as well, but because there may be some changes and we're getting the paper version tonight, that version that Miranda finalizes on Tuesday will be the one that we're actually working from. Commissioner Wagner?
Can I just ask then, Miranda, if is the version we're going to get on Tuesday will not have track changes then, correct? It'll be the, it will be a clean copy. So if we make the motion on a clean copy.
Okay.
But if we have changes from tonight to Tuesday, you said, so those would still be, you would then send a new entire electronic clean copy as of Tuesday. I'm just concerned that we'll end up with the track changes like incremental on Tuesday.
Yeah. So I think what we're probably going to have to do is you all have, I don't know, 20, 80 electronic versions of this document floating around. So if you have, you're going through here and you see, okay, LU 27, I would like to change. Just go back to the most recent Word version. You can copy it, paste it into an email, send it to me. Just get me the language with some sort of way to tell what you would like to change, and then I will incorporate it cleanly into the digital version that goes out on Tuesday.
Okay. Right. And if you're making a suggestion to Miranda, please do say why you're making the suggestion so she understands where this is coming from, because it's always helpful to have some context. Other questions?
I assume you're going to publish this on a website, right? Yeah, on Tuesday as well? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. And yes. One final thing that I want to bring up that has occurred in previous public meetings inadvertently is during public comment, it is public comment, it does become part of the official record. But there have been instances in the past where people, members of the commission, have asked somebody who's making a public comment questions. And that often causes us to get into kind of murky territory because, again, we have to base it on fact. So if somebody comes in and tells us something that night, we just need to be very cautious. So generally the recommendation is to listen to the public comment and not necessarily engage them in conversation unless it's something that we just didn't understand at all what they said and ask them to please clarify it because we didn't understand it. But we do need to be very mindful that it is a public record and we need to keep in mind what the facts are that we know as having been presented and vetted. Mm. Commissioner Wagner.
One thing with that, there are options if we do end up with something very murky like what we got last meeting where there were a number of things that came in a letter that appeared to be inconsistent with mm-hmm. the current document and some of the staff rationale. We can move forward, and although we don't particularly like to do this, we don't have to hold up the whole thing. We can send something to council with an annotated note to say this is one area where we think you need to take extra special look at it. We made our best go at it. And council loves that. They'll make the hard call on something, right? If there's a policy question that we're not comfortable pulling a trigger on, they'd be happy to.
And ultimately, we are making a recommendation to council. We are not passing the comp plan. So the public will have another opportunity to do public comment at the public hearing when council is looking at formal adoption. So that does give people another opportunity to express their thoughts.
It's on council's agenda every Monday in November, so plenty of opportunity.
Yeah. And just to clarify, it won't be another public hearing. This is the public hearing.
Correct.
But there will be council discussion, and there will be opportunities for people to comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misspoke. I thought there would be a public hearing when they adopted it.
Not unless they change it to the extent as happened with the SMP. If they don't change it to the extent that they feel that the city attorney feels a new public hearing is warranted,
because there's
this
substantial
will be the
amount of changes.
Hearing. Correct.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying. Okay. But yes, indeed, council does listen to public comment, and they will have several opportunities to share their thoughts with council at council meetings. And then council will also be looking at our recommendations, and they've been following right along with us, I'm assuming. Okay. Any further questions, announcements, concerns? I've lost my agenda again.
That's it, adjourned.
I was going to say, I think this is adjourned. Okay, thank you. Huh?
Miranda needs more time.
Yeah.
You need help.
We can fold.
We can help.
We can fold and stack.
Mayor, you know,